Welcome to episode 20 of John Wesley's Journal. Thursday, the 3rd of April, 1740. I went into the room weak and faint. The scripture that came in course was, "After the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." I know not whether God has been so with us from the beginning hitherto. He proclaimed, as it were, a general deliverance to the captives. The chains fell off. They arose and followed him. Cries of desire, joy, and love were on every side. Fear, sorrow, and doubt fled away. Verily, thou hast sent a gracious rain upon thine inheritance, and refreshed it when it was weary. On Good Friday, I was much comforted by Mr. T's sermon at All Saints, which was according to the truth of the gospel, as well as by the affectionate seriousness wherewith he delivered the holy bread to a very large congregation. May the good Lord fill him with all the life of love and with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Monday the 7th. At the pressing instance of Hal Harris being a mighty open-air evangelist from Wales, I again set out for Wales. In the evening I preached repentance and remission of sins at Llanfantes, 3 miles from New Passage. Tuesday the 8th, I preached at Pontypool on By Grace You Are Saved Through Faith, and in the evening at Clanhithel, 3 miles from thence, on I Know That In Me Dwelleth No Good Thing. Saturday the 12th, after preaching at Llanfantes in the way in the afternoon, I came to Bristol and heard the melancholy news that so-and-so, one of the chief of those who came to make the disturbance on the first instance, had hanged himself. So Wesley was often under attack, but he always had compassion for those who attacked him, and he was clearly sad to hear of the death of this man who'd hanged himself, who'd attacked him. He was cut down, it seems, alive, but died in less than an hour. A second of them had been for some days in strong pain and had many times sent to desire our prayers. A third came to me himself and confessed that he was hired that night and made drunk on purpose. But when he came to the door, he knew not what was the matter. He could not stir nor open his mouth. Monday the 14th. I was explaining the liberty we have to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus when one cried out as in an agony, "Thou art a hypocrite, a devil, an enemy to the church." This is false doctrine. It is not the doctrine of the church. It is damnable doctrine. It is the doctrine of devils. I did not perceive that any were hurt thereby, but rather strengthened by having such an opportunity of confirming their love toward him and returning good for evil. Tuesday the 15th of April, I received the following note. "Sir, this is to let you understand that the man which made the noise last night is named John Beon. He now goes by the name of John Darcy. He is a Romish priest. We have people enough here in Bristol that know him." Friday, May the 9th. I was a little surprised at some who were buffeted of Satan in an unusual manner by such a spirit of laughter as they could in no wise resist, though it was pain and grief unto them. I could scarce have believed the account that they gave me had I not known the same thing 10 or 11 years ago. Part of Sunday my brother and I then used to spend in walking in the meadows and singing psalms. But one day, just as we were beginning to sing, he burst out into a loud laughter. I asked him if he was distracted, and began to be very angry, and presently after to laugh as loud as he. Nor could we possibly refrain, though we were ready to tear ourselves in pieces, but we were forced to go home without singing another line. Sunday, July the 20th. At Mr. Seward's earnest request, I preached once more in Moorfields on the work of faith, and the patience of hope, and the labour of love. A zealous man was so kind as to free us from the most of the noisy, careless hearers, or spectators rather, by reading, meanwhile, at a small distance, a chapter in the whole duty of man. I wish neither he nor they may ever read a worse book, though I can tell them of a better, the Bible. Sunday, August the 3rd. At St. Luke's, our parish church was such a sight as I believe was never seen there before. Several hundred communicants, from whose very faces one might judge that they indeed sought him that was crucified. Monday the 4th. In the evening, many were gathered together at Long Lane. on purpose to make a disturbance, having procured a woman to begin, well known in those parts, as neither fearing God nor regarding man. The instant she broke out, I turned full upon her and declared the love of our Lord had for her soul. We then prayed that he would confirm the word of his grace. She was struck to the heart, and shame covered her face. From her I turned to the rest, who melted away like water, and were as men that had no strength. Sunday the 17th. I heard a sermon setting forth the duty of getting a good estate and keeping good reputation. Is it possible to not deny, supposing the Bible true, that such a preacher is a blind leader of the blind? Reminds me of prosperity preachers. Thursday the 28th of August. I desired one who had seen affliction herself to go and visit Mrs. G. in Bedlam, where it pleased God greatly to knit their hearts together with his comforts to refresh their souls. Bedlam was the Bethlehem Hospital in London. That became known as Bedlam, and that's where the phrase "it's Bedlam" comes from.